Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Hey at the new Mishnah. The Mishnah continues with the topic of Shavuos Bitui. Shavuos Bitui, that type of oath that we would translate as an oath of utterance. In and of itself, the translation has little meaning, but through the examples that we'll see, we'll begin to understand better what falls under the category of Shavuos Bitui. And of course, when we're dealing with Shavuos, we're very concerned with a person who violates his oath. As far as what's the significance in what category an oath falls under, so there are nafka minas, lahalacha, amongst the different nafka minas, amongst the different practical manifestations of these categories, is some shvua violations will result in the bringing of a sacrifice, others not. A sacrifice is featured in Vayikra Perek Hey Pasuk Dalid, where the Torah says that if one violates a shvuas bitui, the pasuk says, you can see we have this pasuk featured on the side of our Gemara. The pasuk goes on to explain how if one violates this kind of shvua, he'll have to bring a korban. It's a korban, korban that has a fluctuating price to it. We call this a korban oiluv yored, depending on your income level. That's the kind of sacrifice you'll bring, whether it's an animal or a bird offering. Let us now turn to the Mishnah itself, 8 lines from the top. Echad dvorim shel atzmo ve'echad dvorim shel achirim. The Mishnah will give examples of these things. The first point that's mentioned, namely, whether it be matters that concern himself, that was discussed already in the previous Mishnayos. For example, a person swears he will eat something or won't eat something. Dvorim shel achirim, that will be explained later in this Mishnah. V'echad dvorim sheish bohen mamish, v'echad dvorim she'ein bohen mamish. Whether it's an oath that concerns something of substance, something physical, corporeal, and that won't be explained in this Mishnah. However, the second point here, namely things that are of ein bo en mamash, of no substance, that are the subject of an oath, that will be explained in this Mishnah. Ketzad. So here we're looking for examples of some of the above mentioned. Omar, a person says shvua she'etein le'ish ploni or v'shelo etein. Person swears that he will give something to somebody or swears he won't give something to somebody. Or in the past tense, shenosati v'shelo nosati, either I gave or I didn't give. These are examples of what the Mishnah mentioned, echad dvorim shel achirim. You notice how he is swearing concerning someone else, that he'll give something to someone else or he gave something to someone else. We continue now with examples of dvorim she'ein bohen mamish, some oaths that concern something of no physical substance. For example, he swears she'ishan v'shelo ishan, that he will go to sleep and he won't go to sleep. Going to sleep, sleeping is not something of mamosh, of mamoshes, of substance. Or she'ashanti v'shelo yashanti, or in the past tense he swears that he slept or that he did not sleep. She'ezrok tzror le'yam, v'shelo ezrok rashi, on this points out, this is an example of something that is of no benefit. There's no element of hanor here. it too is under the category of something that has no substance. He swears about an action that he will throw a rock into the sea or won't. Shazarakti, v'shalozarakti, or in the past tense that I, he swears that he threw a rock into the sea or did not throw a rock. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Eino Chayov Ela al Ha'osid Lavoi. We're now going to be introduced to a machlokas tanoim, whether or not there is shvua guilt or shvua violation for something in the past, or only for something in the future. It's very clear from the posuk that there is guilt for someone who violates a shvua that's phrased in the future tense. Hence, if he swears to do something and does not do it, or swears to not do something and then does it, so he's in violation of the Shavua. What about past tense, which isn't explicitly referred to in the Pasuk? When we say that Osud Lavo is referred to explicitly, that's what the Mishnah goes on to say now. Rabbi Yishmael says that the guilt is only for a violation of a future-oriented Shavua, Shenema lehora o lehetiv. Lehora, to deprive or to benefit. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Im Cain, Ein li elod varm shesh ben harova tova. Rabbi Akiva, who was more expansive in what is included in Shavuos, in a Shavuos bitui, he says to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're going to be so literal, so attached to the text, so then I would understand that there's only a Shavua where there's something of a, say, negative nature or of a positive nature. Dvarim she'ein bohem haro v'atova minai. What about oaths that are, we'll say, neutral in their content? Where do you, Rabbi Shmuel, know guilt for that? Omar lo, so Rabbi Shmuel says, as far as that is concerned, may ribui hakosuv. In the pasuk, it says, l'chol asher yivateh. That's an inclusive expression, which includes even those kind of future-oriented oaths that are not of either a positive or negative nature. They're of a neutral nature. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva says, im ribo hakosuv lekach, if the pasuk is going to include neutral-type future-oriented oaths, then ribo hakosuv lekach, let the same expansive element of the pasuk include past tense oaths. Tonu Rabbanon. And on the side, we have a topic heading in which we've written chumros b'shvuos u'benedarim, certain stringencies that you find only by shvuos, and others that you find only by nedarim. Until now, we've translated, but not always adhering to the strict translation. Shavuos, we can translate as oaths, and Nedarim as vows. But the examples that the Gemara gives are of more significance. The Ran in Maseches Nedarim points out that even the Chazal, even in the Gemaras, you find switched expressions for these two categories. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara continues. Choymer b'nedarim mi b'shvuos. Choymer b'shvuos mi b'nedarim. There are stringencies that you find in nedarim over shvuos, and those that you find by shvuos over nedarim. Choymer b'nedarim. The element of stringency that you find by nedarim. Shal nedarim cholim al dvar mitzvah kedvar harashus. Ma she'ein kein b'shvuos. We find that vows will take effect in matters concerning mitzvahs, just as they take effect in matters that are optional, which you do not find with regard to the mitzvah element. You don't find that by shavuos. Let's immediately look at the example we see in Rashi. Hanadarm cholam al dvar mitzvah kainim sukkah shani oise lulav shani noitel. Person vows using the konam, which is a neder expression, that he vows regarding a sukkah, that he will not make a sukkah, or a lulav that he will not take. Osir, that is binding. Umenedorim means in Maseches Nedorim for his time of perek ve'elu mutarim. In that particular perek named Elu Mutarim, the explanation is given why a neder does take effect with regard to mitzvos, and a shvua does not. In general, the thinking is along the following lines, that in a neder, you're you are not declaring that you are, let us say, exempt from the mitzvah, or you are not swearing that you are not going to fulfill the mitzvah. You know, that would be a shvua against something in the Torah. The Torah says you are obligated, and you're swearing to the effect that you're not obligated. When it comes to Nedarim, that's not what's being said. Nedarim is an effect focused on objects, and that you are prohibiting the sukkah structure to yourself. We are prohibiting the lulav element to yourself. And since you're not clashing with something that's stated in the Torah, there is room for a neder to take effect. For more information, as Rashi himself says, you can look there in Maseches Nedarim. We continue in the Gemara. Choymer b'shvuas, shashvuas chalois al dover she'ein bo imamish, k'dover she'esh bo imamish. A shvua takes effect on items, not on matters, whether they're of substance or things that are even non-substance, like we saw in our Mishnah, sleeping. Masha'en kein b'nedorim. Nedorim doesn't take effect on matters that are non-corporeal. Ketzad, Omar shvua she'etein leploni, v'shelo etein, my etain. He swears that he's going to give something to somebody. What is etain? What does he have in mind? Ilema stoka le'oni. If it's a vow, or I should say an oath, that he will give charity to the poor, well, that's not going to take effect. Mushba v'oimed mehar sinaihu. Shenemar noson titain lo. That is something that he's already bound to from Sinai. And then we have a concept, Ein Shvua Chola Al Shvua. Once you're bound by an oath, and in this case by accepting the Torah, the Jewish people are bound to fulfill that, there is no room for your personal oath to take effect. So the Gemara says, Elo Matona La'ashir. Means I'm going to give something, a gift to a man of means. That is not something you're expected to do, that you're commanded to do by the Torah. Therefore, there's room for your personal oath to take effect. She'ishan v'shelo ishan. The Gemara asks, Amy, is such a vow or such an oath, how does it take effect? V'omar, and when we say, does it take effect as a shvuas bitui? V'ha'omer Rabbi Yochanan, ha'omer shvua shelo ishan shloishi yomim, malkin oisoi v'yoshen le'alter. A person swears not to sleep for 3 consecutive days. We apply lashing to him, and we tell him to sleep immediately. Now, Rashi adds what's of great significance for the pshat in this Gemara, and that is malkin oisoi, Rashi says, mishvum shvuas shov. For an oath, for a vain oath. And Rashi says, why? Why is it called a shvua shav? Why is it vain? The dover she efshehu, umishenishba yotzel l'sheker. And as soon as he uttered this oath, it's already a lie. Al malav shvuas bituihu. It's not an example of the other category of oath called shvuas bitui, vows of utterance. The kotoni v'yoshen l'alter. You can see he teaches, Rabbi Yochanan says, and he goes to sleep immediately. In other words, as soon as he vowed, it is it's vain, it's a lie, it's something that's impossible. So how can our Mishnah categorize she'ishan or v'sheloishan, particularly v'sheloishan, that I will not sleep, as an example of a shvuas bitui, which is the subject of our Mishnah, when the oath of non-sleeping falls under the category of shvuas shav? The Gemara explains, Hosam de Omar Shloisha. There, he specified 3 days. He will not sleep for 3 consecutive days. That's considered vain, because it's impossible for a human being to continue in a 3-day consecutive non-sleep mode. Pacha, in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with Shvuas Bitui, the Lo Omar Shulshi didn't specify 3 days. He simply said he will not sleep. It doesn't suggest he's not suggesting any time frame. So that if he says he will not sleep, and 20 minutes later he goes to sleep, he's in violation of a Shvuas Bitui. She'ezrok tsor l'yam v'shelo ezrok. Itmar. Shvua she'zorak ployni tsor l'yam v'shelo zorak. Person swears that so-and-so threw a rock into the sea, or so-and-so did not throw a rock into the sea. Here you're dealing, first of all, with something that's of a past tense, and also it deals with someone else. And then it turns out that he was lying in this oath. Rav Omar Chayav, Rav says he is guilty of violating a Shvuas Bitui. Shmuel Mar Potter, Shmuel says he's not in violation. Rav Omar Chayav, Rav says he is Chayav because this Shvua has the elements that are required for a Shvua, the makeup, the ingredients, the necessary elements to be a Shvua, Yisei Belav Vehein. It can be stated in the positive and in the negative. Amongst the different rules of Shvuas is this particular point, that it has the possibility of being stated in the positive and the negative. So that if a person swore that so-and-so threw a rock into the sea, it can be stated also theoretically, it could be stated in the negative. So-and-so did not throw a rock into the sea. It's basically a question of the facts. Shmuel Amar Potter. Shmuel says that this Shvua is Potter, means it's exempt from Shvua's Bitui. He won't, if he's in fact lying, he won't have to bring a sacrifice. He might be guilty of lying, but he's not considered a violator of Shvuas Bitui. Hence, Potter means he's exempt from bringing the sacrifice. Why? Lese bilahabo. It cannot be stated in the future. In other words, you can't state that so-and-so, you can't swear that so-and-so will throw a rock into the sea. That doesn't get off the ground. Why? Because so-and-so is not in your control. You don't have control over the other person. So it's a meaningless oath. And since it lacks the lahabo element, which is, according to Shmuel, is a critical nature in order for a Shvua to be considered a Shvuas Bitui, so it doesn't fall in the category of a Shvuas Bitui if one were to, even if one swears it in the past tense, it lacks the possibility of being stated in the future tense. What we just saw is a machlokes amoroim, Rav and Shmuel. So here the Gemara makes a suggestion that this amoraic machlokes, amoraic controversy, does it parallel a Tanaic, an earlier Tanaic controversy? Of course, we will be referring to our own Mishnah, where we saw the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva concerning oaths that are in the past, in the past tense. By way of markings, you should note that we have a house shape, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, we've indicated Lema Beplukta. You see number one over here. At the bottom of the page, we see a second one of these. These are Nisyonis Laham Machlokes Rav Shmuel Kemachlokes Tanim. These are attempts to say that the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is actually a parallel of an earlier Machlokes Tanoim, where Rav would represent one side and Shmuel will represent the other. When you see a structure of Gemara like this, you often find, and what you'll see that over here, where the Gemara says, no, Rav and Shmuel aren't arguing each one taking a particular Tanaic side. But rather, we'll find later, when after Gemara rejects this suggestion, the Gemara will say, no, that Rav and Shmuel are actually arguing within only one of the Tanoim. So now let's see the Gemara. Lema b'plukta, note by the way, this is a long question. Lema b'plukta de Rav, de Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva komifliki, de Snan. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Gemara's question is, can we say that the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel parallels the Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? De Snan, as we've seen in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Eino chayav elo al ha'osid lavo. A Shvuas bitoy is only one that is of a future nature. Shenema lohara olahitiv. The tense of that posuk is in the future tense. Lohara, to literally to do bad or to deprive. Lahitiv, to do something positive, to do something beneficial. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, im kain, if you are going to be literal in your approach to what is categorized as a shvuas bitui by virtue of the verse, in kain ein li elo dvarim sheyesh b'hen hara v'atov, I would know that a shvua is that which contains either something of a depriving nature or of a beneficial nature. Dvarim sheyein b'hen hara v'atov minayin. What about matters that are not either positive, either negative or positive? How do you know that? And you, Rabbi Shmuel, agree that even we'll call neutral type vows of a future nature are binding, are considered formal shvuas bitui. Where do you know that from? Amar lo me ribui hakosuf. So Rabbi Shmuel answers, I know that from the pasuk which uses the expression lechol asher yevatei. Amar lo im ribo hakosuf lekach, ribo hakosuf lekach. So Rabbi Akiva says, if you are acknowledging that the posuk is more expansive than its literal reading by virtue of the ribui, the inclusive expression, so then let it go all the way and include even oaths that are of a past tense nature. So now, that having been said, what about our amoroyim? So shall we say our question continues? Rav di Omar Kirabi Akiva. Rav, in the example of in the past tense shvuah we had above, where he swears that so and so threw a rock into the sea, or did not throw the rock, and Rav had said that if he turns out to be lying, he is guilty of violating a shvuah's bitui. So then, Rav di Omar Kirabi Akiva. Rav would seem to parallel Rabbi Akiva, who says that past tense shvuahs are real shvuas bitui. Ushmuel, who exempted above, Tiomar ke Rabbi Yishmuel, and Shmuel would seem to parallel then Rabbi Yishmuel. The Gemara explains that Rav and Shmuel are not lining up like that. Alibo de Rabbi Yishmuel kule almo lo pligi. As far as the opinion of Rabbi Yishmuel, who said that there is guilt only for future tense shvuas, everyone agrees, even Rav acknowledges that Rabbi Yishmuel would exempt in the case above of shvuas shezarak pol Yisrael liyam. In other words, Rav acknowledges that according to the Tana, Rabbi Yishmuel, there is exemption. In other words, Rav, when he said guilty, he was not trying to say that within the opinion of Rabbi Yishmuel. He never intended that. So that the Gemara now explains why it's obvious that Rav never intended to say his opinion within Rabbi Yishmuel. Hashta milsa di'isa bilahaba lo mechayev Allah Rabbi Yishmuel l'sha'avar. Mind you, those kind of texts or topics that could be stated in the future, Rabbi Yishmuel, if stated in the past, will exempt. For example, I ate something. Now that can be stated in the future, I will eat. But if you swore that I ate a sandwich, and you really didn't, Rabbi Yishmuel say you're exempt, even though it's a shvuah that could be stated in the future tense. I will eat a sandwich. So if something that has the potential for being stated in the future, which is a requirement that Rabbi Shmuel acknowledges, and yet when you state it in the past, you're exempt. Something like the example above, like Ploni Zorak Sroliam, that can't be stated in the future, namely, you can't swear so-and-so will throw a rock into the sea, as we explained before. So that's called Milsa de Lesabo. Doesn't exist in the future. Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel will hold there is exemption. So that when Rav described a shvua, Ploni Zorak Liam, he never, and Rav said guilty, he never attempted to say that within the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rav acknowledges that Rabbi Shmuel will hold exemption in that case. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Akiva. The machlokis Rav and Shmuel is within the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rav ke Rabbi Akiva. Rav, who said that swearing that so-and-so threw a rock into the sea and it turns out he didn't, is chayav, that is along the lines of Rabbi Akiva, that is mechayav even for past tense shvuas. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel, who said exemption, he is saying that even Rabbi Akiva will agree with me that there is exemption. Ad kan lo mechayav Rabbi Akiva hosom l'shovar, that which Rabbi Akiva says there is guilt for past tense shvuas, elo milso de'isa b'labo mechayav Rabbi Akiva l'shovar. It's only those kind of texts that you could futurize, that could be stated in future terms. Then Rabbi Akiva is mechayev if you stated it in the past. Avomidi delesei belabo. No, but a text that cannot be futurized, even Rabbi Akiva will acknowledge you're not guilty if you said it in the past. And that's Shmuel's point, that Ploni Zorak Tzror L'Yam, that doesn't have the potential of being futurized. So even Rabbi Akiva, who acknowledges past ten shvuas as being a shvuas between, not so in this case, because it cannot be stated in the future, because you have no control over so-and-so. Lema Biplukta. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbonon Komiflegi. Can we say that the machlokis Rav and Shmuel parallels the earlier machlokis Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir and the Rabbonon? Disnan, we have on the side a nosei, a topic heading machlokis Tanoim im chal shvua lekaimus hamitzvah me'achar di'isei rak behein v'lesei balav. Here's an example of a machlokas tanoim concerning a shvua. A person swears to fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say a person swore to fulfill a mitzvah and then doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. Is he in violation of the oath that he took? Now, that kind of vow of shvua to fulfill the mitzvah, that certainly can be stated in the positive. Can it be stated in the negative? A person swears he will not fulfill the mitzvah? No, that can't be stated. Why? Because a person is commanded from Sinai. The Jewish people are bound by the oath of accepting the Torah to fulfill the mitzvahs. So you can't swear not to fulfill the mitzvah. The question is the fact that a vow cannot be stated in the negative, is that a binding element in classifying something as a shvuas bitui or not? So we'll see now a machlokas tanoim on that topic, and then after seeing the machlokas tanoim, we're going to once again try to say that Rav takes one side and Shmuel takes another side. And the Gemara will, once again, you'll see later, say no. It's not that Rav takes one side and Shmuel the other, but rather both Rav and Shmuel are arguing within only one of the Tanoim. This not. The Gemara continues, Nishba levatel is a mitzvah velo bitel. Potter. Person swears to mevatel, to annul the fulfillment of mitzvah, meaning that he swears not to fulfill the mitzvah, and he ends up not fulfilling his vow, and ends up fulfilling the mitzvah. He is exempt. Lekayim is a mitzvah velo kiyem. Potter. If he swears to fulfill the mitzvah and doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, he's exempt. Shahoya bedin shechayev. Logic would have led us to think that he is chayev kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, in fact, holds that a person who swears to mekayim a mitzvah and doesn't fulfill it is in violation of a shvuas bitui. Diyama Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, uma im horishus. Mind you, something that's optional. Sheinu mushpa aleh mehar Sinai. You're not bound by Sinai to do something that's of an optional nature. Hare hu chayev aleh. And yet if you swear to do it and you don't do it, you are in violation of the shvuas bitui. Mitzvah she mushpa aleh mehar Sinai. A mitzvah, a commandment that you're pre-bound to fulfill from Sinai. Eino din shei chayav aleh, all the more so. If you swear to do it and don't do it, all the more so you are guilty. Omru lo, lo. The Rabbonon responded to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, saying, not so. Im amarte b'shvuas horashus, shekein osa bo lav kehein. If you say, in a matter of something that's optional, the reason that such a shvua is binding because the matter of option can be stated in the positive, it can be stated in, that's hain, can be stated in negative lav, in the negative, meaning not to. I will eat the sandwich, I will not eat the sandwich. There's no mitzvah concerning eating sandwiches. So that's a devar harishus. So it, and it can be stated in the positive and negative. Toimar b'shvuas mitzvah sheke lo osa bo lav kehen. Should you be able to say the same thing regarding a shvua concerning mitzvahs where the negative is not like the positive? In other words, if someone swears not to fulfill a mitzvah and he goes ahead and fulfills the mitzvah, he's not considered in violation of the vow. And from this argument, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra acknowledges that. So, very simply stated, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra does not have this lav and hain requirement. The basis, by the way, of lav and hain is from the words lehora or lehetiv. Lehora would be, I will not eat. That's in the negative. Lehetiv, I will eat. That's in the positive. So, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra doesn't have that requirement in establishing what constitutes an oath. So now let's continue in the Gemara with our question. Neimar Rav D'Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Shall we say that Rav, that didn't require, if you recall, the future element. Remember, Rav said that if you swear that so-and-so threw, in the past tense, threw a rock into the sea, and it turns out that it's not true, you are in violation of the shvuas bitui. Even though that can't be stated in the positive, in the future, that is. It can't be stated in the future that so-and-so will throw a rock into the sea. So you see that Rav is not so, we'll say, bound to the literal approach of shvuas, literal in terms of explaining verses, as being the last word in what constitutes a shvua. So again, what we're saying is on a superficial level that Rav was willing to accept as a shvua something that cannot be said in the future tense, and yet it's a shvua. So he would seem to go like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, who also didn't require a text to be both being able to be stated in the positive and the negative. Ushmuel Diomak Rabbonon. Shmuel, who said regarding Ploni Zorak Tzor Leyam is exempt, would seem to go like the Rabbonon, who says that only a type of shvuah that can be stated in the positive and the negative is a shvuah. Likewise, something that can be likewise Shmuel would seem to say that since that cannot be stated in the Ploni Zorak Tzor Leyam cannot be stated in the future, it also doesn't constitute a shvuah. Alibo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira kule alma lo pligi. And here, as we saw before, within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, everyone is in agreement. Namely, even Shmuel, who says there is exemption in the case of Ploni Zorak Leyam, he is not saying that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would say that there is exemption for that. Hashta lav vehein lo boi. Mind you, the issue of positive and negative, which is explicit in the words lahara lahitiv, and yet Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira doesn't hold them to be binding. Lehabo ulishaovar boi. The issue of lahabo and shaovar, that was only learned from a riboy. That was learned from l'chol asher yevatei, an inclusive expression. It wasn't something explicit. So if something that seems to be explicit and yet Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira does not hold it to be binding, something that's not explicit certainly is not going to be binding. So as far as Shmuel is concerned, he readily acknowledges that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would say that in a case of Ploni Zorak Tzor Leyam, and it turns out that he's lying, he is guilty. Ki pligi aliba de Rabbonan. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel is within the opinion of the Rabbonan who argued with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. What was the Rabbonan's approach? The Rabbonan's approach is that you need to have both possibilities. You have to have the lav and hain possibility. And Shmuel spoke about the necessity of having the future as well as the past possibility. And if you have something that can be stated only in the past and not in the future, so there is exemption. So Shmuel k'Rabbonan. Shmuel would seem to go straight like the Rabbonan, that if you don't have both potential possibilities, then it doesn't constitute a shvuah. But Rav, who said in Ploni Zorak Tzor Leyam, and it turns out that you're lying is guilty, he fits into the approach of the Rabbonon as well. Ah, the Rabbonon were very, let's say, restrictive in what constitutes a shvuah. Ki lo mechayvi Rabbonon. When is it that the Rabbonon are, let's say, are lax, are not, do not hold guilt? That's bela vehein. That's when the text of your oath could not be stated in both positive and negative terms. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk explicitly says, lahara lehetiv behedya. Behedya means that's explicit. So that a shvua, Rav understands that a shvua, in order to be a shvua, according to the Rabbonon, has to have both the positive and negative possibilities. Avol habol shavar demiribli dekroy osu. But as far as that requirement, the shvua be not only in the past, but must also be potentially in the future, that's not explicit in the pasuk. That was me ribui dekroy. That was from l'chol asher yevatei b'svasa of the expression, the inclusive expression of the pasuk. There, the rabbanon do not hold that to be binding. Therefore, mechayvi, they will hold the party to be guilty, even if it's a shvuah that cannot be stated in the future tense. As I, says Rav, as Rav said, Ploni Zorak Tzor Leyam. And it turns out that he's lying, he is guilty, even according to the Rabbanan. Before we go further, we glance at the side, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You notice the triangle appears. Kushios al Shmuel. These will be questions on Shmuel, Shesover de'ein chiyuv b'shvuas bitu elim kein hem gam b'lahaba. Shmuel held that there's no shvuas bitui violation unless it's an example or a text that could be stated as the potential being stated in the future. And the questions are mimakoros shiroim b'em chiyuv shvua sakadaita shvuas bitui afapiti einu b'lahaba. We'll see examples of shvuas that seem to be violations of shvuas bitui even though they cannot be stated in the future. Another marking that will appear is a double underline. We'll see this on both occasions, where the one who raised the question is also the one that answers the question. Mefarik is to undo, to respond to the question. The Gemara. Mosiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna asks on Shmuel, and we have a Tanaic source where a person swears, Lo ochalti hayom, velo hinachti tfilin hayom. Person, he utters that he did not eat today, or that he did not put on tefillin today. And then someone says, Mashpiach ani, I want you to swear to that. V'yomar amen. And he says, yes. He confirms what he said. Chayav, if it turns out to be otherwise, he's then guilty. Bishlamo lo achalti, I understand that the lo achalti isei, that is a shvua. If he swears that he did not eat, let me read that again more accurately. Bishlamo lo achalti. So isei belo ochal. That has the future possibility to it. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel had said oaths that if they're in the past tense, they'll have a binding nature to them if and only if they can be stated in the future. So if a person swore that he did not eat, the potential oath of I will eat exists. Ela lo hinachti. Person swears he did not put on tefillin today. Mi isei belo aniach. Can he swear in the future that he will not put on the tefillin? No, he can't swear that he will not put on tefillin because the Torah binds him by virtue of what we call mushpo v'yoyimi maharsina to yes, put on tefillin. So here you have an example of an oath that cannot be stated in the future tense, and yet the source says that he is guilty if he swears falsely that he had not put on tefillin today. Hu moisiv lo v'hu mefarek lo. Rav Hamnuna raised this as a question on Shmuel, and he also answers the question. Litzdodin kotoni. The two examples are each one, say, unrelated to the other. Literally, litzdodin kotoni, something to two separate sides. We'll explain. Lo ochalti. The source that said that the oath of lo achalti is chayiv, if he's lying, that's le korban. That's only regarding, that's regarding the matter of if he had sworn that way, and it turns out that he's lying, he will have to bring a sacrifice. When it comes to sacrifice requirements regarding false oaths that apply, then we say the standard of what we call lahaba and lishavar. However, the example of lohi nachti that the source says chayav, there it's not talking about korban anymore. That's talking about lamalkus for lashing. That if he knew that he was lying, he deliberately, willingly swore falsely, saying he did not put on tefillin today, when in fact he did, so he'll be guilty of malchus. But, as we said, not a korban, because The lo hinachti cannot be stated in the future tense. So that when you're discussing, we'll just repeat ourselves, when you're discussing the standards for which someone would be obligated to bring a sacrifice, then it's a type of oath that could be stated, it has to be able to be stated in not only in the past, but also in the future tense. However, if you're dealing with the punishment of lashes, then the future tense requirement is not a binding factor. We continue in the Gemara. Mosiv Rava. Note that this too is a long question. Eizohi Shvuas Shov. What constitutes an oath in vain? Nishba Lishanoisis Yadua L'Odom. Someone who swears, and in his text he's trying to alter or change that which is well known to man as otherwise. V'omar, imagine he swears al omud shel'evan regarding a stone pillar, shehu shel'zov, that it's made of gold. V'omar ulav v'hu shenikr l'shloisha b'nei odom. In order for it to be a shvua shov, in order for it to be considered yodua l'odom, in order for that quality to be met, it has to be nikr v'shenikr l'shloisha b'nei odom, that it's something known to three people. At least three people know that the pillar is in fact made of gold. Taimo de nikr. Maybe because it's known, it's nikr, it's recognizable, it's known to three people, then it's a shvuas shov. Halo nikr. Let's say it's something that's not known. It's not yodua levnei odom. So, and you swore concerning this, we'll say, a hidden pillar that happens to be made of stone. And you swore that this hidden pillar is made of gold. Turns out that you're lying. Oiver mishum shvuas bitui. So, that would, albeit not be a shvuas shov, but it would be a shvuas bitui. You notice what we're doing is we're making a deal. We're drawing an inference. When is it a shvuas shov? That's if it's known to three people. If it's something that's not known to three people, then it's a different kind of thing. It's a shvuas bitui. And he would be in violation, v'amai. Ah, why is he in violation if Shmuel is correct? Ha'eno b'yehei shel ezov. You're talking about something that's an established fact. You can't say that it will be made of gold. You're dealing with a pillar that's already in existence. Hu moisiv law v'hu mefarik law. So Rava, who raised the question, also answers the question. Nikr oiver mishum shvuas shov. As we saw in the source, if it's known to three people of what material the pillar was made, and you're lying, that's called a shvuas shov. Lo nikr, if it's unknown, oiver mishum shvuas sheker. So he's in violation of telling a lie, but not in violation of a shvuas bitui. And the prominent nafkamina is he's not going to be guilty or obligated to bring a sacrifice because he didn't violate that kind of shvua. As you can see, we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the side, we have an osei topic heading, shvuas ha'edus, eino b'chlau shvuas bitui. Shvuas ha'edus has to do with the realm of an oath that is imposed on someone who claims that they do not know testimony on behalf of so-and-so, and it then turns out that they are lying. Omar Abaye, Umoide Rav, Rav who did not require the lahabo element in what establishes a shvua. Just to review a point that we made before, the issue of lahabo and lishavar, future and past, that is especially when you're dealing with the issue of something being stated even in the past. As being a shvua, as we saw, Rav held that could be the element of lahabo and lishavar, having Is a shvua shvua if it has both elements, or only if it has both elements? That is something that Rav did not require. But even if you hold that it's required, it's not something that's explicit. It was from the ribui, from the expansive expression kol asher yivate that we saw in the pasuk earlier in Vayikra Perek Hei. So that even though Rav doesn't have the lahabo ulishova requirement, Abaye is telling us now that he does require the lav vehein, the positive and negative that can be stated in the I will, or in the I will, or as an I will or I will not idea. We'll see now an application of that. So Abaye tells us that Moide Rav b'Oimel Chavero, person says to his friend, Shvua she'ani yodea l'cha edus. He swears that he knows a point of testimony on his behalf. Ishtakach d'lo yoda, d'lo yoda le, and it turns out that he is lying to Potter. He is exempt. Chayo v'lesei Bichlal she'eni yodea loch edus, since it cannot be stated in the negative, namely that I don't know testimony on your behalf. In order to appreciate what was just said, Rashi is absolutely necessary, bearing in mind that Abaye is explaining Shitas Rav within the realm of Shvuas Bitui. So Abaye is telling us that Rav acknowledges that this type of oath of Shvua Shani Yodeloch Edus, and it turns out that he's lying, will not fall under the category of a Shvuas Bitui violation. I emphasize, it doesn't fall under the category of a Shvuas Bitui violation. Why? Because it cannot be stated in the negative as a Shvuas Bitui. So we have to be very careful in our categories. And we now look at the Rashi. Umoide Rav, Diafagav de Loboi Lahabol Lushovar. Even though Rav does not require both elements to be in the potential for what constitutes a Shvuas Bitui, Lav Vehein Boy. Rav does require the positive and negative. And why was that? Because that's explicit in the pasuk. Lahara, that's the negative. Lahitiv, that's in the positive, and that's what the pasuk says straight out. Voimer shvua shani yodeh lochaedus. Person swears, I know testimony on your behalf. Hein mishkachas bo, lav lo mishkachas bo. It can be stated in the positive, but it can't be stated in the negative. What do you mean? What does that mean? What do we mean by that? Well, delesei bi'eini yodea l'cha. If a person swears, I don't know testimony for you, and it turns out that he does. Why is that not an example of the negative as a shvuas bitui? Di'eini yodea l'ch edus, lav mishum shvuas bitui chayvei rachmono. A person who swears that, I don't know testimony on your behalf. In fact, a person who is lying about that, he is considered a sinner. He's considered guilty. But of what? It's not a shvuas bitui. It's a different category of shvua. And we'll see in a moment, it's called shvuas ha'edus. So as Rashi says, a person who swears ein yodelach edus, if he says that, he's not considered as having taken an oath of any meaning, if he swears thusly outside of the court. Elo mishum shvuas ha'edus, v'eino elo bebeisdin uberoi lahoid. That text, shvua she'eini yodea l'cha'edus, if a person wants to swear thusly, it can be sworn, but only in a court, and only by someone who is fit to say testimony. there are people in halacha that are disqualified from testifying. People who are disqualified from testifying and swear, Eini yodei halacha edus, they're not in violation of that kind of shvua. So Abaye is quick to point out that Rav, who is not so, let's say, restrictive in defining what constitutes a shvua, when it comes to this specific example of shvua she'ani yodea lecho edus, and it turns out that he's lying, it will not be a violation of a shvuas bitui, because that cannot be stated in the negative as a shvuas bitui. It exists in the negative, but under totally different qualifications. As we said, only in Beis Din and only by those people who are qualified to testify. Let's continue with another example. Yodati or velo yodati. A person swears concerning I knew testimony. In the past, I knew testimony, or I did not know testimony. This is a machlokes. That'll be a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, that will be guilty. According to Shmuel, it won't. Why? You can't say regarding testimony, I will know testimony for you. So according to Shmuel, since it can't be stated in the future, it doesn't get off the ground. Now, there's a little more to say on this, and we go on a little bit more in the Gemara. He adati velo he adati. That means I testified, or I did not testify. Past tense. Is that a shvuas bitui? If he swore that I testified, and he is lying, or he swore that he did not testify when he did. That's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. According to Rav, even though it can't be stated in the future, and we'll have to find out why not, nevertheless, it can't be stated in the future, it is binding. According to Shmuel, since it can't be stated in the future, it's not a shvuas bitui even in the past. Now here we have to take a look at Rashi. Yodati velo yodati, machloikes de Rav Shmuel, de isei belav vehein, velesei belabo. It's true, you have this in the positive and negative, as the Gemara's example indicates, yodati or lo yodati. But it's not in the future. What do you mean it's not in the future? De nishba levatel es hamitzvah. Now on this, the Marsha points out that this concept, levatel es hamitzvah, is more relevant to the next example in the Gemara of he'adati or lo he'adati. In the case of he'adati v'lo he'adati, it does not exist in the future. For example, to say lo a'id, you can say lo he'adati, that's in the past tense, but to say lo a'id, I will not testify, that according to Marsha would be a shvua levatel es hamitzvah. When you have testimony that can be stated on behalf of so and so and you don't do it, so then that's a violation of a mitzvah. So that's a technical point that we're pointing out as far as the Gemara is concerned, but I believe that what we explained earlier is also accurate, namely, when a person swears yodati velo yodati, that can't be said in the future. That's I knew information on your behalf, or I didn't know information. To say I will know information, that's not something that's necessary in your control, so it can't be stated in the future. Therefore, according to Shmuel, it won't be a shvuas bitui. According to Rav, it could be. Bishlamo l'Shmuel, we continue in the Gemara, the Omar, milsa de lesse babolo, mechayvel el shavar. I understand well, according to Shmuel, that says, since those things that cannot be lehabo, cannot be futurized, you will not be guilty if you're stating it in the past tense and turn out to be lying. Lahochi afka rachmona l'shvuas edus michlal shvuas bitui. Therefore, the Torah, and if it would be helpful for everyone to look in Vayikra Hay and notice that the section of the Torah that deals with shvuas edus is taught separately from the section that deals with the shvuas bitui. Why? So that Shmuel, it's true, he has a standard that says things that cannot be stated in the future, you're not chayev on regarding the past. When it comes to Shvuas Ha'edus, one is guilty even though it's not something that can be stated in the future. And as we said before, Shvuas Bitui is something that has its own standards. And Shmuel readily, according to Shmuel, it's very easy to understand that Shvuas Ho'edus, which one will be guilty if he swears, for example, that he does not know testimony on so-and-so's behalf when in fact he does, he is guilty, even though it's a type of shvua that cannot be futurized. You can't say, I will know testimony, or I will not know testimony on behalf of so-and-so. So that the shvuas edus doesn't conform to the standards of shvuas bitui. And as a result of it being different, so it's not taught together in the Torah with shvuas bitui. El l'rav, Lamai hilchaso afka rachmona. According to Rav, why does the Torah separate the section dealing with shvuas ha'edus, the oaths concerning knowledge of testimony, from the section of the Torah that deals with shvuas bitui? Just like Rav says by shvuas bitui, it's considered a shvua even if it cannot be stated in the future. That's the very nature of the shvuas edus, which the Torah holds someone guilty for. So couldn't they have been taught together? Amrua rabbonon kamei de abaye lechuve ole tarti. The rabbonon explained why the Torah taught the shvuas edus separately. The reason for that is that if one is lying about that, namely he swears he doesn't know testimony on behalf of so-and-so, when in fact he does, he'll be guilty for two offenses. Assuming, of course, as Rashi points out, if the person is qualified to say testimony and he does his denial in a court, he's chayev for both shvuas ha'edus and shvuas bitui. Omar Luhu, Abaye says back to the Rabbonim. He says, Tarti lo motzisu amrisu. What you just said, that if a person violates a shvuas ha'edus, that he incurs a double penalty, not only for violating that commandment of the Torah, shvuas ha'edus, but also for shvuas bitui, cannot be said. Desanya, the posuk says, li achas me'ele. And that is in this section of the Torah, in Perek Hey of Vayikra. La'achas ato mechayvo, vi ato mechayvo shtayim. He is held, in violation of only one. When a person violates a shvuas bitui, he's in violation of only a shvuas bitui. He can't be held accountable for something else along with it. So that if a person is in violation of a shvuas ha'edus, he can't also be considered in violation of a shvuas bitui. So the Gemara asks, Ulabaye lamai hilchaso afke rachmona. If Abaye doesn't like the explanation of the Rabbanon, namely chuvi le'tarti, so what's Abaye's explanation? According to Rav, why did the Torah teach Shvuas Ha'edus as a separate section? Answer, L'chidetanya. There is a major distinction between Shvuas Ha'edus and the other Shvuah, the Shvuas Ha'bitui, in the following. It says as follows, B'kula Nemar, and all the different kinds of Shvuas, it says, V'ne'elam. The Kan, with regard to Shvuas Ha'edus, Lo Nemar V'ne'elam. You don't see the expression V'ne'elam, but V'ne'elam means hidden from him. Let me just correct a mistake that we just made. The word Bekulon, Rashi explains, Bechol haksuvim bekorban olav yored, in all those halachas that are stated regarding the alternating priced korban, and they include Shvuas Bitui, Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav, you find the word v'ne'elam, that a person is considered obligated to bring a sacrifice only if v'ne'elam, it was hidden from him when he violated. So when a person violated his oath, his Shvuas Bitui, he was unaware at the time that he was violating an oath. Then he brings the korban. So that in all the cases it says v'ne'elam, the Kan, with regard to Shvuas Ha'edus, you don't see that word. Lo ne'ema v'ne'elam, l'chayev ala mezid kishogi. It's a very unusual example of a person who has to bring a sacrifice even when he is a willful transgressor. Just like the shogeg, the unintentional transgressor. The rule of thumb throughout the Torah is that sacrifices, sin offerings are brought when a person had violated unintentionally. When someone violates something intentionally, we almost always find no sacrifice obligation. Can say he doesn't deserve to bring a sacrifice, which affords a person atonement. A person willingly, knowingly violated a mitzvah, he doesn't bring a sacrifice. This is an exception, the Shvuas Ha'edus. So that warrants Shvuas Ha'edus to be taught separately, because in Shvuas Ha'edus we're mechayev ala mezid kishogeg. Omru le rabbonon labaye. Now the back and forth discussion continues. The rabbonon said to Abaye, Emo, maybe the following is the case: b'mezid mechayev kada, b'shogeg Mechayev Tarti. Maybe the distinction is, like we said before, that a person who violates Shvuas Ha'edus is in fact in violation of two offenses. But that's only if he erred, he sinned unintentionally. If he's been mazed, so then he brings one. Then he's guilty of one sacrifice. If he violated the Shvuas Ha'edus unintentionally, he's chayev two sacrifices, one for the Shvuas Ha'edus and one for the Shvuas Ha'bitui. Omar Lahu, so Abaye says back to them, but I already answered your suggestion. Lav Hainu de Amri Lahu, is that not which I already answered? Le'achas. Achas ato mechayvo via to mechayvo shtayim. That there's, when you're dealing with a violation of Shvuas Bitui, it's only when it alone is that which is being violated. The violation of a Shvuas Bitui does not accompany something else. V'ibemezid, and if you'll say that he violated it, bemezid, mi'iko tarti, what was your suggestion? That if he violates it, bemezid, you have, if the Torah was talking about a case of someone violating b'mezid, could there possibly be two? Therefore, the parsha was talking about shogeg. In order to appreciate what we just said a little more clearly, let's go back two lines in the Gemara. What did the Rabbanan suggest to Abaye? They said, let us say that b'mezid mechayev chada, b'shogeg mechayev tarti. The Rabbanon are referring to the gzeres hakosav before the miut. We saw before la'achas ato mechayevo v'ato mechayevo shtayim. That when it comes to a shvuas bitui, we're mechayev him for one, not for two, not for shvuas ha'edus as well. The Rabbanon suggested maybe that miut is taking place where he is b'mezid. But Mazid, the Torah tells me that if he says a Shvua Sa'edus, Shvua Sheini Lecho Yodea, Eini Yodea Lecho Edus, when in fact he does, and he does so willingly, so he's Chayav only one, meaning only Shvua Sa'edus, but not Shvua Sa'bitui. Now, when you say that, you're telling me as follows. I need the Torah to dispel something I would have thought. In other words, I would have thought that if the guy is bemazed, he willingly is lying, he would be chayav too. Comes along the Torah to say no. In the mazed circumstances, he's chayav only one. Abaye says back to the Rabbanan, can you possibly think, can you have the Havamina that bemazed, he would have been chayav too, that I need the Xeris HaKosov to dispel that? What are you talking about? If you were bemazed, you willingly lied about knowing testimony, so to say that I would have thought he'd be chayav for Shvuas Bitui as well, that can't be. The Pasuk explicitly says V'nei Elam in the case of Shvuas Bitui. The whole chiyuv of the Torah of Shvuas Bitui is only when it's unintentional. So there was no Havamina to think that there would have been a chiyuv for Shvuas Bitui under mazed circumstances. And since there's no Havamina, there's no grounds for even thinking that, the Pasuk is not coming to dispel something I never would have thought. Hence, when the Pasuk says La'achas, it's talking about a shogeg circumstance. And even under a shogeg circumstance, where it's unintentional, he's chayav only one. Hence, a refutation of the suggestion of the Rabbanan, who wanted to say that b'shogeg he would be chayav two. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar. And here we have another phrase of Gemara, another line of Gemara. It's very difficult to understand without learning it together with the Rashi. But let's read the Gemara. Rava Omar. As far as the Shvuas Ha'edus is concerned, Mishum Dahave Dovar Shebichlal. Shvuas Ha'edus was a type of Shvua along with all other Shvuas. V'yotza Lidoin B'Dovar HaChodosh. The Torah taught it as a separate parsha, separate category, because of the unique elements to Shvuas Ha'edus. What are the unique elements? First of all, it applies only to those qualified to say testimony. Secondly, it has bearing only if it's in the court. Ein lecha boi elo chidusho bilvad. Therefore, as far as Shvuas Ha'edus is concerned, when he is lying, when he swears, I don't know testimony for you, he can be chayav only for Shvuas Ha'edus. It's such a separate category of oaths so that you wouldn't have even thought that he'd be chayav for a Shvuas Habitui as well. What Rava is basically telling us is I don't need the Gzeiras HaKosov of Le'achas to conclude that Shvuas Ha'edus is going to be chayav only for one. You'll notice this is in contrast with Abaye, who said before that, in response to the Rabbanan, who said that maybe when he lies about his Shvuas Ha'edus, he's chayav not only for Shvuas Ha'edus, but also for Shvuas Bitui. So Abaye had cited to them the Pasuk, La'achas, La'achas of the Mechayv of Liyato, Mechayv of Shtayim. Rav is saying you don't need that Gzeres HaKosev for this purpose. I wouldn't have thought in the first place that a Shvuas Ha'edus could have been Chayev for Shvuas Bitui as well, because of this hermeneutic rule of Torah exposition, which is, as we read, Dovar Shoy Bechlal, V'yotza Lidoin B'Dovar HaChodosh, when you have something that seemed to be part of a general category and it was separated for its unique elements, Ein L'choboy Elo Chidusha B'Vad, you can apply to it only its uniqueness and not think it's part of the original category. Hence, Shuas Eidus is a unique element, and it can't be thought, you can't think to include it as part of an example or an example of Shua's Bitui. So the question then, according to Rava, the idea of La'achas is a limitation expression. What is its role? You're saying he's chayav for one and not for two. So Rava is making it clear that limitation, that exception is not needed for Shvuas Eidus, but rather it's for a separate purpose. And you can see in Rashi on the second wide line, Elo Labitui Lechudei. This La'achas, which the source said before, La'achas v'atomachayv v'shtayim, is within the realm of Shvuas Bitui. Shim Omar, Rashi says, Shvua shelo ochal. A person swore he's not going to eat. V'ochal, and he goes ahead and eats three different kinds of bread. V'ochal paschitin u'pasurin u'paspusmin. Einu chayv elo achas. In such a case, he's chayv only one, as one offense. Aval edus u'bitui lo tzorach mi'uta. But as far as using the Gzeres HaKosov of La'achas to say that when he swears falsely regarding testimony, that he's chayv only for testimony violation and not for utterance, you don't need the pasuk for that. Aval edus dovashor b'chlal b'itu v'yotzev if they atzmu lidon b'dover chodosh. The Shvuas edus appeared originally as being an example of a Shvuas Bitui, but then we noted that it has its own unique elements. And therefore, we have with it, regarding it only its novelty. And therefore, he's chayav as a violator only of Shvuas Eidus and not Shvuas Bitui. So as far as Rava is concerned, the Gzeres HaKosov of La'achas is limited to the realm of Shvuas Bitui alone. What did Abaye say about La'achas? Abaye had said that the Gzeres HaKosov tells me that when he lies concerning Shvuas Ha'edus, he's guilty only of Shvuas Ha'edus and not Shvuas Ha'edus and Bitui as well. So that according to Abaye, the Gemara goes on and says, Michlal de Abaye Sovar Isei L'Shvua Ba'olam. Abayu said that I need the Shvuas, the La'achas Gzeres HaKosov to exclude Bitui from a Shvuas Eidus violator. It seems that the Shvuas Bitui exists, that when he lied concerning Lo Yodati Lecha, Lo Eini Yodea Lecha Eidus, I don't know testimony for you, that in theoretical terms, you have not only a Shvuas Eidus, but you also have the presence, in theoretical terms, of a Shvuas Bitui. And the Torah is simply saying that we hold him guilty of only one of those two oaths. V'omar Abaye, but Abaye said earlier, Moide Rav, v'oimer l'chavero, Shvua shani yodea l'cho Eidus, v'shtakach de lo yodale, the potter. We look at Rashi at the bottom line. Vama Rabaye Liel. Abaye said earlier, and by the way, you have little arrows that you can use to navigate. On the first of the wide lines of the Gemara, you see the corresponding arrow. He said above a point. That Rav, who was himself fairly expansive in his definition of what constitutes a Shvuas Bitui, he said that when it comes to the realm of Shvuas Ha'edus, there is no the lesse l'shem Shvuas Bitui b'Shvuas Ha'edus. There isn't any existence of a Shvuas Bitui when you're dealing with Shvuas Ha'edus. And why is there no existence of Shvuas Bitui in the realm of Shvuas Ha'edus? Because the shvua that a person says that I know testimony for you, and it cannot be stated in the negative. That ain't yodei alocha edus. And what do we mean by that? It can't be stated in the negative. It can't be stated in the negative as a shvuas bitui. It's only in a shvuas it's only stated as a shvuas ha'edus, if you recall, because of the it can't be stated outside a basin. It's something stated only by, or capable of being stated only by ruin l'hayid. So Abaye pointed out earlier that when you're dealing with the realm of shvuas ha'edus, there is no element of shvuas bitui whatsoever. So that how is it that when Abaye says over here, la'achas me'ele is coming to tell me that when you're dealing with the shvuas ha'edus, you should know you're guilty only of the shvuas ha'edus and not the potential shvuas ha'bitui. But there is no potential for shvuas ha'bitui, as Abaye himself had said earlier. The Gemara responds, Hodar bei Abaye mehahi. Abaye reversed that which he said over there. In other words, it's true that it would appear to be a question, but in the final analysis, Abaye reversed that point, and hence you're left only with the one limud of Abaye. And if we assume mehahi means from that which was stated earlier, then the result would be that Abaye's maintenance that Rav would be Moide, that there is no Shvuas Bitui, that's not true. There is a violation of Shvuas Bitui when a person would say Shvuas Shani Yodeh Lechaidus, and it turns out that he does not know. Now, when it comes to matters of how many violations, how many korbanos will he have to bring, that is this teaching of Abaye, la'achas, that means achas ato mechaivo v'yato mechaivo shtayim. The Iboy Asema, another approach to this last question of how can Abaye say that la'achas comes to exclude shuas bitui, which exists in potential, but the Gzeres HaKosov says we don't hold him culpable of that, when Abaye earlier said there is no shvuas bitui whatsoever, it's not as if Abaye had said both things. The Biboy Seimo at the top of the Chav Vav Amid Aleph, Chado Minayu Rav Popa Omra. One of these points Rav Popa had said. So it's not Abaye anymore. So one point was stated by Rav Popa, the other stated by Abaye. Which one is which? So we can't say that with any degree of authority, but we'll just go over the two points. One stated by Abaye and one stated by Rav Popa. Point one being that in the case of Shuas Ha'edus, there is no element of Shuas Bitui whatsoever. And the second point, the other point is to the contrary, that in the realm of Shuas Ha'edus, there is a potential Shuas Bitui. And there is a kusuf, the scriptural reference comes to exclude the guilt for the Shuas Ha'Bitui when he is lying about a matter of testimony. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.